I want to talk to you today about something that it seems to be fleeting in our lives. Our lives are very busy. The things that we seem to do, it distracts us in so many ways. But I want to remind us that there's a life that we can live that is experiencing the fullness of Christ. Now, most of the time, that sounds like a phenomenon that most of us have really had a chance to explore what that really looks like. To experience the fullness of Christ. We've experienced many other things in our lives. We experience our first love. We experience how to drive a car. We experience to be educated. We experience on our jobs. We experience in our relationships. But yet, to experience the fullness of Christ is something that is so awesome, that is so kind, that is so wonderful, that the scriptures will unveil to us to give us a glimpse as to what that looks like and where it starts and where it should end up. Now, I can tell you right now, it is not always natural for me to be quick to assist in the glorification of the church through the glorification of God. It's not always easy for me to do that. There's going to be some times where I myself may not exhibit the fullness that is necessary to be able to carry that out. And so it is intensely the love that we have for Jesus Christ that begins to decrease in our lives when we get so busy and inundated with our regular lifestyle. That we can get so busy at the things that we do in our lives and the pressures that come with those things. It causes us, we start out with a love for Jesus, but yet those things pull us away in our intensity when it comes to the love we have for Jesus. And so we need to be reminded that it is time for us to be renewed so that we can experience once again what the fullness of that love of Christ looks like. And so why it's so necessary for Paul in this text here to give us a few key points to look at that will help us in that very way. When we look at the 16th verse, actually, we see the 14th verse where he says, for this reason, now this reason he's talking about now how he's revealing what the mystery of Christ looks like. The mystery of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's talking to the church at Ephesus and letting them know what that mystery is. He's letting them know is also the inclusion of the Gentiles and the Jews coming together in one body. And so, but he's saying here now, I understand that in because of what I'm dealing with now in prison, the suffering that I'm going through, that it is causing some of you to lose heart. You're starting to feel that persecution in such a way where it's hurting you. And he's going to let them know that even though I'm going through these things, I want you to be encouraged to know that I'm going to pray that God will strengthen you so that you can deal with this, what I'm dealing with, because I'm doing this for your sake, and I want to let you know that it's okay. But the way you're going to find out that it's okay is God going to strengthen you to let you know that it's okay. Even in our church, our own local body, it may at times seem as though God is not moving to the capacity or at the time that it may seem beneficial for us. Every now and again, we need to know that if we're strengthened, that if we are encouraged in our inner being, that God will make it okay. He may not grow us based on the time frame that we expect to be grown by, but he yet will grow us. And he's going to let us know that if you walk in the experience of being filled by me, you won't have anything else you have to worry about because you'll be so busy glorifying me and magnifying me where nothing else but matters. Amen? And so Paul then offers up my first point, a model prayer for experiencing the fullness of Christ. Prayer, as some of us know, and many of us may inquire, is how we communicate with God. We communicate with God no other way than by prayer. But it's so importantly to understand that God, because you know, here in the scriptures, it says, Paul says that he was wanted God to strengthen us in our soul. Isn't that what it says? He says in our inner being. Paul, why would you say in our inner being? Why would you bypass the one that I know? I know my soul. I know my house of intellect. I know the thinking man. So why would you want God to strengthen me beyond that? Because he knows my limitations. He knows that I could not even comprehend what God is going to do in my intellect. So he goes even deeper and says, I want to go to your inner man. I want to go to the one who knew me first. I want to go to the one who first failed in our relationship. I want to go to the one who, when I searched you and convicted you, he was the first one to agree with that conviction. He was the first one to plead guilty. He was the first one to say, God, I accept you. And so Paul's saying, I want to go to the inner being. He's the one that needs to be strengthened. He's the one that needs to be encouraged. He's the one that I communicate with. He's the one that when I reveal myself, I reveal them to him first. And then through my scriptures, then I reveal it to the soul. Because now the intellect comes in. Now you can understand what you're seeing from a physical standpoint, which you're already feeling in the inside, but you couldn't communicate it, you couldn't explain it. Because the Holy Spirit can't, when he begins to talk to your inner man, your inner being, which is synonymous with one another, the inner being really can't communicate that to the soul. So you need the word of God to confirm it. Oh, God, this is what you're doing with me? This is explaining what I'm dealing with now. That emptiness that was once there, that is now being filled, I understand now. God said that he would pour out his flesh upon all people. Okay, so now I understand it more so. Also, the inner being, which is our inner man inside, is the seat of our conscience and our intuition. Don't give your souls that much credit. It's deeper than that. That conscience, when you know that you're doing something wrong, it's not your soul telling you that. When you know that you're not really feeling it, it's not your soul telling you that. It's your conscience. It's your inner being saying, we are coming up short. We need to raise the bar another level. So also, Paul is saying that our inner being must be strengthened because our inner being needs to be able to understand what God is getting ready to do. Now understand this. Life in itself can be evasive, and obtaining mastery of life can seem to be so elusive. But God has given us a gateway to life's dilemma. And that gateway is through prayer. That is our opportunity to converse with God so that God, who is the giver of light, can give us the light to give us the opportunity that we may overcome those things that we're dealing with. And so that's why prayer is so important and so vital in our lives and something that we need to do, that we may be able to begin to experience the fullness of Christ. Now understand this. You're not going to experience all that Christ has because your capacity to do so is not big enough to contain it. But you will be able to experience to the fullness of what he may even give you just an eighth of what he's going to give you. But for you, that's beyond full. Because we are so... was so finite until our capacity to hold what God's going to have for us. And when we understand that, when I pray, and I'm sure many of you have found yourselves in predicaments, and the only God can answer those questions. And then you say, well, God, I need to be able to feel that you're talking to me. I need to be able to just have this one, for this one time, to know that I know that you are with me. Because we understand that every believer, when he receives Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within him. Amen? But that doesn't mean that I'm always going to feel the Spirit of Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit within me. And so I need to pray that I become more sensitive to know that the Holy Spirit is within me. That's way I can be led by my inner man, who's led by the Holy Spirit, which is powered by Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we need to understand, my second point then, is this. Christ indwells our heart by faith. It is our heart, our inner being, is where the Holy Spirit in Christ is residing. But we have to have faith that He's there. We have to be firmly persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt, for you, Dan, that He's there. We're talking unanimous upon unanimous. We have to be that sure, that much assured that Christ is in our hearts. And when we do that, we understand that Christ is in us and He lives within us. The Spirit of God lives within us. We're generated then, therefore, by the power of the living Christ who resides within us. The person whom Christ indwells, He looks to Himself. Amen? No, He doesn't. He looks to Jesus. He looks to Jesus, because up until that point, what was going on with him? He looked to Himself. He looked to Himself, but God told him, there are ways that seem right unto you, but the end will lead to your death. The end will lead to your separation from me. So the person who has Christ indwelling in him is no longer looking to himself. He is looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us that looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of us can identify with that transformation? How many of us can say, I am looking to Jesus and now no longer at myself? Because if I'm reminded of the unsaved person, when he goes from being saved to being saved and beginning to experience some of the fullness of Christ, he goes from looking inwards. He's no longer looking inside of his soul for all the answers. He's no longer relying on his intellect to get him through. He's no longer looking for how he feels. I'm not feeling this today. I'm not feeling that tomorrow. He's now looking outward. He's looking outward to something that is greater than himself. He's looking to Jesus. He's calling on the greatest name there ever was and ever will be, the author and finisher of his very faith. He understands then that he's always trusted in his own assessment of himself. Everything about him was something he came to the conclusion of because he was the one that was giving the assessment. He was the one that was taking inventory. But now he says, I no longer want to do that. I want to turn the assessment of me over to the Holy Spirit generated by the power of Christ. I want the Holy Spirit to search me. I want him to look in deep into my heart, because Jesus Christ will point out some things that I thought I was okay with, I thought I was cool with, but Jesus says those things cannot be with me. You cannot be with me and have those things in your heart. And so I need to go inside there. If you want to experience the fullness of me, you're going to have to experience the lessening of you. And so we need to eradicate some of you so that you may be replaced with the fullness of me. Can I get a witness to that? So he starts looking outside towards the grace and the love of a completely trustworthy God. So he's no longer looking inside. He's looking outside towards the grace of the love of a completely trustworthy God. How many of you know God is trustworthy? You can trust God with any and all things in every area of your life. If the fullness of Christ begins when we pray, begins when we are assured that the Spirit of God indwells our heart, we believe that by faith, we are completely assured that this has taken place and we're no longer looking in the inside. We are now looking outwards towards Jesus. We're no longer looking at the inward circumstances, because if we looked at the circumstances of what's going on in our society, we'll see that it doesn't look favorable As our pastor said earlier, turn on to the news. Only news you're getting is bad news. Well, the fullness of Jesus would allow for us to be able to hear those bad reports. And God will say, well, whose report do you believe? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. He wants to fill us with so much of his love that we wouldn't be able to understand that. Okay? And so, that person then is no longer looking downwards. He's no longer looking down where humanity is for life's answers. He's no longer looking at his brother and his sister all the time. He is now looking up towards Jesus Christ. He's saying, Jesus, you are the godly counsel that I want to surround myself with. So I'm not relying on me anymore. I'm giving up on myself as it relates to the counselor. I will no longer heed my own counsel. I want to heed God's counsel. I want to experience, God, what you have for me. And I understand more and more because I've prayed, and not only myself, because when we look at this scripture, Paul is saying that he is praying for others. He's doing the praying. It reminds me of our pastor. He has that same charge, that same responsibility to get on his knees and pray that we all be strengthened in our inner being so that God, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, will be able to fill us in such a way that we would be able to bring glory to God. And when he begins to do those things, some of us catch wind of what's going on, because I know for a fact, Pastor, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't be so comfortable standing up here. I wouldn't have any part of it, because somehow the intense love I had for Jesus began to fade away. It began, I can do the Christian thing. I could sit in that chair. I can come up and do the offering. I can read a couple of scriptures. But I'm not going to stand here under the fullness of Jesus Christ and proclaim to you, thus saith the Lord. And I'm not going to go the extra mile of being side by side with our leader that I may be able to impart life in other believers. But because I have a pastor that's been praying for the very thing to happen, and so now I have something inside of me that's encouraging me ever the more to go further and farther and higher and deeper, and to do greater things than I ever thought that I would be able to do under the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And that very thing is available to everyone that's here, that we would all begin to receive that prayer. Because that prayer was not just sent up for me. It was sent up for every one of us. And so our pastor and our God is just waiting for us to take full manifestation of that thing and begin to walk in it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Beyond the walls. You can't go beyond the walls on empty. You can only go beyond the walls when you're full. Full of God's grace. Full of God's love. Full of God's mercy. That's the only way you can do so. And I thank God on yesterday to be able to take part in such a thing. To be at the tribute to the heroes in Old Town Temecula, to be able to do that, to be able to sit in there. But the most, you know what the best thing about yesterday was? Is I was able to do it with my wife. That I was able to minister to other women and men with my wife at my side. Because I understand more so now how the hitman, the evil one, what came in when my daughter was 17 years old and tried to forge us apart, to try to get us to be divorced, because he didn't know exactly what God would do with us as a team, but he knew God would do something great. And so God says, no, whatever I put together, let no man separate. That includes you, husband and wife. And so we had a chance to be able to be of a ministry service to someone else on Old Town, and even so in this congregation, because we're now under the fullness of Christ. We're no longer full of ourselves, in other words. We're full of Jesus Christ. And that's what the fullness of Jesus Christ looks like. You bring glory to the church, to Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I'm no longer looking forward. I'm now looking forward, in other words, and I'm not looking backwards. I have no time to look backwards. I have to look forward. Why? Philippians 3:13 tells us to do what? To look forward. Forgetting those things behind us, but we have to look forward now, right? What? Because who's ahead of us? We're going towards the prize. What's the prize? Jesus Christ. Amen? That's, Pastor always says, and trust me, I've picked this thing up, and if the last thing that's ever told to me in my existence is that's going to be, I want to be told, well done, my good and faithful servant, by my Lord. That is what I want to be told. I don't want to be told anything else but that. Amen? So, how do we look at this then? If we're talking about the fullness of Christ, what does that look like? When I look at verse number, number 20, verse 18, he says that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. So we're going to need some strength to comprehend this thing, this fullness, because we can't do it on our own accord. We have to have some strength. And not only that, we don't need to be trying to figure this thing out on our own, because it's all inclusive here. It says all the saints. So in other words, I am no more better, I'm no more loved, I'm no more qualified than any of you. According to this, we are all part of this. When you receive this, you're all a part of this, that you may comprehend with the saints. What is it then? What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Paul declares that the love of Christ is far beyond our intellect. Oftentimes we want to, what we say, intellectualize what God's love is. And when we do that, we begin to base it on the only love we know. And the only love we know is one of philos. We know a brotherly love. That's all we know. We have no idea about the agape love, the unconditional love, the unconditional love that says whether your race, whether your ethnicity, whether your culture, it's not conditioned upon that. My love goes beyond those things, is what Jesus is saying. My love is so bright and so deep. This love steals from an experience type of a relationship. In other words, the more experience you have in the knowledge of Christ is how much you get to know this type of love. This is not one that you can just say, you know what, I read my Bible, and so I know what Jesus is talking about. No. This here, when you look around, this is experience. Because if you step out of this church and go into another church, you won't find the representation of the ethnicities that are here. This is just one aspect of it, of an experience with Jesus Christ that we started out in our inner man, in our spirit, but yet it is made whole and alive in our physical body. And so our soul is saying, you know what? I didn't always believe what you're talking about, Jesus, but there's something that's inside of me that's awakening me to the point to where my soul is starting to believe what you're telling my inner being. And so because you're telling my inner being how to love, you're telling my inner being how to be filled with your love, I'm going to have a conference with my soul so that my soul can come to the conclusion then that this is how we're going to be going forward. That's what he's saying. And so now I'm getting strengthened because now my intuition is changed. It's about what Jesus is telling me, because the knowledge of God is rooted in the love. But one thing we always find, this is that song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, and then we want to have so much knowledge to where we want to impress people based on our vocabulary and based on the context of what we're talking about. So in other words, we want to be men and women of knowledge. But we find out true knowledge doesn't come that way. True knowledge starts and ends in love. It starts and ends with love. Not love of myself, but the love of God. Beginning of all wisdom starts where? When I begin to reverence God. That's when all that starts. And so now I'm getting strengthened. I'm getting more encouraged because I understand that God is love. 1 John 1, 4, and 7, and 8 declares that. He is love. And because he's so love, I can have that love inside of me. When you think about it, for my finite way of thinking, to try and understand how God's love is, when the scriptures are telling me how it's so deep, Paul is using some words that he didn't put any ending to them. He just told you that it's deep. He just told you that it's wide. And that lets you know that there's no way I can contain all this, but all I need is a glimpse of it. All I need is a minute version of this, and it will fill up this vessel here with so much of it that I can't help but convey it to everywhere I go. I can't help but begin to convey God's love everywhere I go. And when I convey God's love, I begin to bring glory to the church. Because the person is first going to see me associated with the body. But ultimately, when that takes hold inside the whole body of Christ, it's conveyed the glory to God. Because now everybody in the body would be conveying that love together. And that's what one of our core values is that we would love. And one of the things we want everyone to know when they come to our church is that you experience two things, the love of God and the love of people. And so that's why it's so important to be full of Christ. Amen? And so the love we want to have is an unrestricted love. Why? Because Jesus Christ demonstrated what that looks like. He died on the cross for you and I. When I was yet, before I even was born, he knew I was going to be a sinner. He knew even after I accepted him that I still wouldn't be perfected. But yet he died on the cross. He showed how much love for us that he gave himself. And his Father showed how much love that he had that he gave his Son. Wow. I can't explain or understand how deep that is, how high that is, or how wide that is. All I can say is thank you. All I can say is glory to God. All I can say, I was once lost, but now I'm found because of his love. His love searched after me like a search party and brought me home. When we think about how much God loves us, we can see in a tangible way because we really can't explain it sometimes. That's why I say in God's word, he confirms it to our soul, what we experience in our inner being. If you think about the story of the prodigal son, you get a glimpse as to what it was like when we were yet sinners. How we had an inheritance, and we took that inheritance, we had dominion over the whole earth. We walked with God. We communed with God. We communicated with God. Our spirit was one with God. But yet, somewhere along the line, we decided we wanted to ante up, and we wanted to be like God. We wanted to have self-determination when we lived in a theocratic government, where everything we did, we consulted God about. And so we gave up that relationship. And then Jesus Christ says, Father, I'm with you on this one. We need to go on a rescue mission. Man has no clue what he's doing. He's in need of us so bad. He determined that he wanted to be like me. And the more he found out about me, in his sins, the more he found out he didn't want to be like me because he found out he couldn't handle self-determination. And so he says, the one thing you did give me initially, you gave me free will. I'm going to freely give myself back to you. I'm going to confess to those sins that I've committed. I'm going to receive the Spirit of God back into my heart. I'm going to have embellished in the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of me. And just like that prodigal son, he goes back to the Father. Father sees him from afar off. The Father begins to set up a banquet for him, begins to put a new robe, changing the way he was on the outside, began to change his shoes. Now he's walking in a different path than he was before. That is awesome. And then he gave him a prize jewel. He gave him that ring, signifying, you're home. You're back home. So this is why Paul can say that to know the love of Christ surpasses all knowledge. Because that's exactly what it does. It surpasses it completely. So in my conclusion, experiencing the fullness of Christ is then therefore attainable. When we petition God in prayer and in faith to strengthen our inner being so that we may live in the Spirit and in the power of Christ who dwells within us. And by doing so, we bring glory to the church. We bring glory to God in Christ. Amen. And so the question is, am I willing to allow my vulnerable spirit to be filled with the everlasting love of Jesus Christ? Am I willing, in the pardon of my sins, to allow the Holy Spirit to search me? Well, he's going to search me, but am I willing to agree with him? Am I willing, based on the evidence that he's producing in front of me right now, that started from the time I knew that I was not doing right with God, am I willing to accept the plea of a lifetime because my penalty is death, but here, and I'm up and going against now the greatest prosecutor there ever was, there's never lost a case, but he has a compassionate side, and that compassionate side is if you would plead guilty today, that I would pardon you, I would give you life, eternal life with me, that you may one day reign with me, that your relationship may begin eternally with me, that you may develop a relationship with me through my Son, Jesus Christ. That is what God wants us to be. So if we, who are saved by the power of Jesus Christ, we want to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with the fullness of Christ. And for those of us who have yet to confess Jesus as Lord, we want to be able to say, Holy Spirit, have your way with me. Search me and know my ways. Look deep as you can inside of me, that I may be able to confess that I am a sinner who needs to be saved. Today is a great day.